Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios, it's time for Women in Motion, brought to you by WBEC West. Join forces, succeed together. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here with Dr. Pamela Williamson, another episode of Women in Motion, brought to you by WBEC West. Dr. Pamela, have you fully recovered from the big day, the big weekend in Colorado?
You know, Lee, I am not going to lie. I have not. I think I need another 3 or 4 days of rest. The conference was fantastic. Almost a little shy of 5,000 attendees, 300 corporate members, and just a gigantic trade show booth floor to get through. So it was a pretty exhausting experience.
And it's so important that the conference happens like that. We're in person. It's having 5,000 people like that, the energy must have been off the charts.
I would say that it was beyond any chart that has ever been measured. It was absolutely crazy connections happening everywhere.
Well, it's great to be back with you here in the studio and so excited to be talking to our guests. The theme this month is Stress Awareness Month, and we have Sarah Hope and Heather Cox with us. Anything you'd like to share or talk to them about before we get going?
Yeah, I would love to. So I have known both of these ladies for a very long time. I have watched them go through the trials and tribulation of growth and expansion, and I have seen them both handle stress amazingly. So I'm going to start with you, Heather, and have you introduce yourself. Heather Cox is the CEO and president of Certify My Company. And I don't want to say this wrong, Heather. I am counting on my fingers, but I think you have 5 kids while you are also trying to run a very successful business that is expanding. Can you tell me a little bit about your business?
So Certify My Company, we work with diverse entrepreneurs and corporations to make sure that A, they get matched up, but also to make sure that everybody in the supply chain that should be certified is certified with the right certifications for them and their business. Otherwise, you know, they're not going to use it for what they want to use it for. And yes, I do have 5 children. I started the company right after I had baby number one, which is when you start a business, right? Like right when you have a new baby. And so there have been plenty of conferences that I was pregnant at.
So I want to bring in Sarah Hope into this conversation. Sarah Hope, I've also known for a very long time. Sarah, I think when I first met you only had one company and your kids were at home. Now, if my recollection is correct, you have 3 companies. You separate your time between here and Alaska, so here being Arizona. But can you tell us a little bit about your company?
Yes, it's been 10 years. Can you believe it? I started next year is our 10-year anniversary for Vertical Identity, which I'm the CEO and founder and ultimate visionary. My biggest issue with Vertical Identity or any other business that I start is I love starting and then I get absolutely bored whenever running it. So I definitely need an implementer to help me to run the companies and execute the vision for sure. That's one of the biggest takeaways that I've taken from the last 10 years. And, you know, my love is just starting the company. So I have a Vertical Identity, which is a background screening and employment screening company. We do a lot of compliance also for trucking companies. We also recently started a Easy Trim weight loss clinic. So after I lost 30 pounds, mind you, that I had gained because I was working 24/7 for the first 7 years or so of my business journey, and gained some weight and then realized, you know, an amazing new technology that has basically come out, medicine that's really helping women all over the world at this point. It is a game changer for obesity in America. So we switched over. We had drug testing facilities, 4 of them. We were also frontline in COVID and frontline with mass COVID vaccinations and testing. Got through that. And then I just pivoted and did the weight loss clinics. And we also own a little wedding chapel. So I have my hands in a bunch of different stuff. So, but yes, my kids are gone. So now I can just work 24/7, right?
Thank you, Sarah. Hey, Heather, I do have a question for you, which I think is on all of our listeners' minds, is what is the secret of running a successful business and raising 5 kids? And none of your children are teenagers, right?
No, my oldest, my big two are 15 and 13. So yes, we have a lot of attitude also in the house now. Yeah. I don't think there's a secret. I think that, I mean, people say to me all the time, I only have 2 when I can't do it. I don't know if it's 2, 5. I don't think it matters. Kids are kids. They all need your attention in different ways, different times. I will say though, my kids are very independent from a very young age. They make their own lunches for school. My big two do their own laundry. They are responsible for, you know, some people do allowances and they can earn money in the house, but there's citizens of the household chores because, you know, we all live here. We all take responsibility. So I think that independence is huge when it comes to having to run a business. And, you know, I started a second one and I have a JV as well. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, keeping things going. Schedules are very important. I remember during COVID, actually, I was interviewed by GoDaddy. They asked me, you know, how are you doing it? I was like, schedule is so important because everybody knows what's expected of them at that point. Same for me. Like, I live by my calendar. If it's not on the calendar, it's probably not going to happen because this brain can only hold so much information and it's already reached its limit. So we do a lot of scheduling. And I think that's really the only way. And then I, you know, as far as like the stress part goes, the gym is the reason that I don't lose it quite often because I get that stressed out at the gym.
Well, I also see you because we're joined together on Peloton. So I see your name.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I check out your workout.
I am in the Peloton cult. I do love it. It is it's easy. It's in my room. I run upstairs if I need to, but I just think it's like such a phenomenal. That was such a great shift. Like of all the technology, I think that's happened over the years, that one, cause you still get the camaraderie of being in a class. Right. But you can roll out of bed and jump right on the bike.
Yeah. Hey, Sarah, with your juggling your 3 businesses, how do you handle stress?
Well, like Heather, the calendar is basically my Bible. So if it is not on my calendar, it is out of sight, out of mind. A trick that I learned some time ago is that our internal mindset is really important. So for a while, all I would do is continue to remind myself of the things that I had to do. So in order to stop that, I keep extensive lists. So I'm super old fashioned with if something comes up and comes up in my email or someone asks me to do something, I give myself permission to not continuously think about it all the time. So I have different lists for different things. So I have a business list for each business, and then I have a personal list. And then I'm in a pretty big legal battle right now with an ex-employee that's causing me a lot of stress. And I have a legal list of, so that way I don't miss anything. Because I think for me, there's so much stuff going on all the time that I cannot miss anything. And as a result, between my calendar and then keeping my list. But then the other thing too is I hate this word, but it's so important. It's compartmentalizing tasks. So yeah. I shut things off. If I'm going to do something, all of my notifications on my phone go off. I don't look at my email. I focus on that one thing and get it done for an hour or two, which is really hard, but there's no way that I can be as productive as I am without having major organization.
You delegate well too, Sarah. You good delegator?
Yes. At this point.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You have to delegate.
Have
we also run, we run on EOS. So it's based on the book called Traction. So it's the entrepreneurial organizational system. And we have our level 10s and our meetings and how we've set up the company to where you know, I'm famous for interrupting everybody's day when I want to know a number or something. So the promise of everybody is that on our level 10s, each company communicates to me where we're at. So that way I'm not having to blow up people's day or hour, or I want because I know that I'm going to get all the numbers that I need on the level 10. But yeah, delegation is certainly key when you're managing a lot of different projects.
Now, were you always this way, or was this something that, you know, you started having a bunch of kids, or you started having a bunch of companies and you were like, I better change some behaviors or else I'm going to have to manage this.
This was so much fun in the beginning, because when my husband's in the business with me too, and we say we've been married now for 10 years, but we're like, it's more like 20 or 30 because we're together all the time. But I remember when we first started the business, we were like, there's nothing going on. Let's go see a movie. Those days are long gone, right? And we did. When we started the business, we had 4 teenagers at home and managing their schedules. What we did at that time, forget it. Our office, we had a tiny little office. We paid $350 a month. It was the best thing ever, like 10 years ago when it was simple, right? We would drive to that collection site. It was a drug testing collection site. We got a contract with Valley Metro at the time, and we started off that way. And then we were only open like 9 to 3. Now looking back, it was so cute, right? Like we were so cute. Like, yeah. So we would leave so we didn't have to drive traffic. It was 30 miles there, 30 miles back. We would be like, okay, there's no one coming. Let's go catch a movie. Those days are long gone because you get so busy. You have to have so much grit to get through the last 10 years. I mean, it's literally flown, and we've grown so much. I think the first year we did like 18,000 in revenue. Like the next year we did like 50, we got up to 100, and then we were like, woo-hoo! Well, like 2 years ago, well, it's been a few years now, we hit 1 million. And then last year we hit 4 million in revenue. So it's, I mean, the difference of like the journey of what actually goes on and the multiple different levels of things that you have to handle, things that you don't even realize that you had to learn, because as Allison Maslin says, is from Pinnacle, is, you know, what got us here isn't going to get us there. And so many things changed along the way, and we have to adapt as the leadership of the company. You don't have a choice because everybody's like staring at you like, what's next, right? So yeah, stress management is really important.
Now, Heather, let's go back in time with you a little bit. What was the impetus of your business idea? Like, what was the pain that you were going through that you were like, hey, this, I might be able to solve this?
It wasn't even my own pain. When I was pregnant with that first baby way back, you know, 16 years ago or 15 years ago, she's 15. So 9 months before that, I was asking, I knew I had to work. I didn't know exactly what that looked like, but I knew I would have to work. And so I was, and I'd always done sales and operations, and I was asking a lot of women about their experience as working moms, whether they were executives or part-time or worked for themselves, whatever it was. I'm asking a lot of questions. And the business owners, I just like really like gravitated toward. I thought they were amazing. I thought I loved their energy, their passion. And when I started talking to the ones, especially the ones that were doing business to business sales, I really was like, wow, this is fascinating, right? And I was like, just kept asking them more questions. And at some point, a couple of them said to me, oh, there's this certification that I need to, my clients want me to get, but I just like, can't get it done. And I'm like, hold on. You run like a $2 million business. You run a whatever, you know, a $250,000 business, $2 million business, or $2 billion business. What do you mean you can't get it done? I don't understand. So I went home and did a little research. And my husband's an attorney, and he's never worked in my business because I would like to stay married. I'm like, Sarah, she's much braver than I am. But I asked him, like, what's an operator agreement or what's the certificate of organization? He's like, well, in some states. And I'm like, wait, some states? So that's when I realized that things are called, you know, documents are called different names in different places. So if you're a busy business owner and your time is, this is even before I was a busy business owner or a mom of 5, right? I'm like, well, how do you know what it is? And he's like, you just have to know. So not everybody knows what they don't know. And so they'll be spending hours and hours trying to find their certificate of organization only to find out their state doesn't do that, right? So I said, oh, I could do it for you. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. never really thought about running a business before. And then this one sold that one, that one sold that one. And then someone said, oh, can you do minority? Can you do this one? Can you do that one? And then, the, you know, about 5 years later, we had our first corporate contract and they started calling me a certification expert. And I'm like, yep, I sure am. I just went with it, right? So that's really how it started. It was just somebody had the need. And I've always said one of my biggest attributes is I'm a very resourceful person. And so I just figured it out. And now I have 5 people who work on my team with me to figure it out for them.
Now, how did you kind of figure out like pricing, like, like you figured out, I'm sure the first time you were doing it as it was as if they were doing it. So you had to learn like they would have learned, but you're just doing it now so many times, you now probably know shortcuts and you know all where all the landmines are, where the regular person doesn't know that. So how did you kind of build that into a business that you could delegate and you could, you know, teach other people how to do it?
Yeah, I mean, until probably 8, 9 years ago, it was just me doing everything, right? And yeah, the pricing, you just kind of were like, yeah, this sounds good. And no one said no, right? The first few times we did it. So, and then, you know, now it's obviously there's metrics behind it and there's information statistics. We know how long it takes us. We know what payroll is. We have a lot more actual data behind what we're doing. But we just kind of said, this is the price. And then I realized everyone's saying yes. It probably means
it's too low.
Everyone's saying yes. So we raised it and then, you know, it slowly just kind of changed a little bit here and there until we really found our sweet spot.
And Sarah, what about you? What was kind of your backstory on beginning your adventure in business?
So I have a huge risk. I have a huge fear of failure. So it dominates in everything that I do in my life. So as a result, I have chosen businesses all the way up through the weight loss business that are required by law. Why? Because I felt like if it's required by law that you get, you know, a DOT drug test, or that you have to have compliance for your trucking company, or that you have to do a pre-employment background screening because you have a federal contract, right? Then that's safe for me, because then it's more about not trying to convince someone that they need something, but they're coming to you because it's required. And so as a result, for me, it was easier because then I can go shop the competition. So understanding your market and what you have to offer. And then you also, you know, at first it was more about price. But now that I understand more about the values that we have and what we bring to the table, especially with, like, for example, with our background screening process, you know, we have really, really great turnaround times. I was talking to a friend that they were getting hired at a retail store. I'm not going to say who it is, but it says it took them like a month. They're like, I couldn't get the job. It took a month to get my background check back. And I just started giggling because we do a lot of school districts in Arizona, and their turnaround time, we got them down to like 3 days. And that's really important for whenever you're trying to hire a teacher with a teacher shortages, and they're competing, right? They're competing with another school to get the teacher. So it's not even so much about price. It's more of how can you get us what we need in the time frame that we need. So we've also, in cooperative contracts have been really huge with the state, especially because the state of Arizona is not, they do have a DBE program, but it's not very friendly as far as I'm concerned. So getting in front of cooperative contracts, and I don't know if everybody's familiar with what a cooperative contract is, but so just imagine Costco or Sam's Club, right? If you belong to Costco or Sam's Club, then you can buy there at a certain rate. With cooperative contracts, every state has them, and it's like cooperative association. So one of ours for the state of Arizona, actually they cover a lot more, but it's Mojave Cooperative. And under Mojave Cooperative is they have, for example, electricians and plumbers and background training companies and people who build like the outside yard toys for the kids and office supplies. And they bid them out every, 3 to 5 years. So this contract that I finally won, this is my third try, and it was actually another Weeby that helped me the RFP success.
She, love her.
Yeah. So I had her check out my RFP because our lives revolve around responding to RFPs, and sometimes we're too close to the trees. You're too much in the woods to see the trees or whatever. Yeah. But so anyway, I had her check it and help me with it, and we won the contract, and now people are just lining up. So it's not necessarily price all the time.
Right.
Right. Is you have to look at the market, really understand what people need. Heather, one of my biggest things is I became an 8A certified. Oh my gosh. You do that?
No, but
she means she will do it shortly, right? Isn't that
I cried. I remember the process was so painful. It's a federal certification. Mm-hmm. I remember getting back something that I didn't do something right. And I remember being in Thailand on vacation and getting it because I thought it was all the way on the other end of it. And I was in tears because I was like, oh my God, they're asking us for something else that I don't even know what it is. And it took me like 2 years to get the certification. It was the worst thing.
We have a partner that does it. And I have my own thoughts on it, but that's not what this conversation is about.
What about stress?
I will say though that your point was right, Sarah, is that you talked about like changing over the years, and it becomes less about price and more about value, right? So now that we are the leaders in what we do, there are other people who say they do what we do. There is nobody who does it to the extent that we do it, to the level that we do it, so much so that we've had a good number of our corporate clients who are like, you know what? We want to divide your contract into two because it's other companies less expensive. And every single time they've come back and given us the entire contract. Every time. Because they just don't have the process. They don't have the expertise that we have the way we do it. And so, we've had other people who've tried to, to compete with us, but it's just not, they're just not to the same level. So that is also, there are some people who are more expensive than us, people who are less expensive than us. What I always tell entrepreneurs, especially, is I say, because after polling a bunch of our customers, we found out we've saved a lot of our clients approximately 22 hours of work. That's about a time that we've saved them by outsourcing the process to us. So I tell them, you take what your hour is worth to you, whether it's your billable hour, whatever it is, multiply it by 22. If it's more than our fee, you're saving money. If it's less than our fee, then you might want to try to do it yourself. It just depends on how valuable your time is. I outsource everything I possibly can. I remember one time all five of my kids got lice at the same time. All five. I was like, where's that lice lady? I called up a lice lady. I was like, I'm not doing this. There's no way I was going to spend all that time and get it wrong. Because you know what? If you don't have the time or money to do something once, you don't have the time or money to do it twice. So I did not need to do that again. So I outsourced everything again, taxes, right? Marketing. Be like, do your website. It'll look like I did my website and it's going to cost me more in the end.
I wish I had my card because when I first started my business in 2015, I was a lice picker.
Oh, that's so
on
funny.
The side because I got paid $35 an hour.
A lice lady.
And yes. And
the best.
And I was just like, hey, whatever I could do to get a little bit of income. I mean, I would have stood in the corner of the road and sold water like they do in Hialeah, when it's hot. I would have been like, here's some lemons, here's some water, whatever it is that you need to get your business going because you've got to make it and you're so green
right.
At the time. But yeah, I just saw my card recently.
That's so funny.
Lice doctors.
Yeah, lice happens.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
See, outsource and delegate. That's how you make it happen.
Now, you both mentioned the importance of systems, processes, these kinds of delegation. Can we talk a little bit about AI? Are either one of you kind of leaning into AI or leveraging AI at this point in your business, or And if you're not, are you seeing that as part of the future that you're going to have to at some point kind of lean into that?
I mean, we are in some respects, obviously, a lot more automation than we've ever had. Through our CRM, we've included a lot of automation and sort of take away some of the manual tasks that are just time consuming for the team. So we've definitely done a lot of AI with that.
Sarah?
I am really deep into AI. So not only am I investing in every single AI stock that I can get my hands on, NVIDIA was at 400s recently, up to over 900. I bought some AMD. So I'm researching everything, but more importantly is I'm embracing it to the extent. So I have just replaced my outbound sales team with outbound AI callers. So I have basically two full-time AI caller. I don't even know what to call them. Agents, right? That are making outbound calls to trucking companies, and
they're like robocall, Sarah. Like
they, yeah, but they sound exactly like a human. You listen to the call and you listen to the conversation that our potential, you know, customers are having with them, and they're like, yep, you want to get transferred? And then we initiate a transfer to the live team, but they don't know. They don't know the difference at all. And the most beautiful thing about AI is that you can upload a like your knowledge base. So you can upload the questions and answers. You can, like for us, it would be DOT Part 40, right, of the regulations of what a trucking company has to do to be compliant with the drug and alcohol testing policies and the randoms and all the things that they have to do. They have, again, back to my fear of failure, right? This is not something an optional. Nobody wants someone in a truck, in an 18-wheeler, getting into an accident being on drugs. So we manage those processes for trucking companies. And as a result, every new trucker, we reach out to them. We were having live, you know, agents do that.
Right.
And the AI doesn't have any feelings. The AI is going to ask every single question that you tell it to ask, and it's going to have a conversation. So it is completely fascinating. Our sales, since we launched that, have gone up drastically. So we were getting about 5 new signups a week, and we're getting 3 a day now. So yes, it's been huge AI. Then the other changes that we're making is that I know where this is going. So while I'm not yet, but I'm on it. Like every day I get up in the morning and I watch YouTube about whatever new came out, because my goal is to transition a lot of the administrative duties that we have internally, to an AI process, to where literally the AI can record your screen, follow whatever admin tasks that you're doing. For us, a lot of times it's like, hey, what, you know, collection site for drug tests you have in zip code 85086, right? Where now it's a human that has to go in and enter this stuff. The AI, you can train it to go log in here, check here, answer here. Imagine not only being able to service our customers 24/7, to be able to automate that process, make them feel like, well, it's not just make them feel like, I honestly, a lot of this is they're, let's face it, our employees don't always do what we ask them to do. Our team skips questions because of whatever it is that they think is happening. The AI doesn't have that emotional response. They're just going to ask the question. It is so polite, and you can pick like male voice, female voice. I mean, I can't even tell you how much fun we're having with it. It is absolutely amazing.
Did you have someone kind of Sherpa-ing you through this? Like, how did you kind of find the service you're using for this? Or is this just you and are kind of just dove into like a chat GPT and just started doing it yourself?
Oh, I'm a chat GPT queen too. Let me tell you, I want to write a book about chat GPT because it's handling my entire legal case. By the way, I didn't even hire an attorney. It is my attorney. It's writing all of my motions. It's writing everything for me. It's handling my entire legal case with this ex-employee issue that I have. So I'm using ChatGPT for that. But I ended up going to Traffic and Conversion. And at Traffic and Conversion, there is one called Air AI. And they kind of started, kicked it off. But at Traffic and Conversion, there was a company called Acquisition AI. And that's who I use. So I liked their setup fee was pretty reasonable. I don't quote me. I want to say it was about $1,000. It's about it's $800 a month for two full-time AI. So I gave them the script, everything that we wanted, and then they set it all up and then we launched. And, you know, it probably took about 10 days to get it all set up and for them to set it up on their end and test it and run it and run with it. But I did a lot of research. Again, YouTube is my best friend because how I use YouTube is in the morning is I'll sit and have my coffee and then I'm like, what's new in AI? And the AI is going to revolutionize the entire world. And I know that there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. There's a lot of OpenAI is the main source of the large language model, but it is written in an open language. So there's a lot of large language models that are being built under that. So it's not like one big brain. It's kind of like the gremlins. You have like one, and then there's like a ton of like large language models under it. So I don't feel like, you know, they're going to take over and the robots are going to kill us all and all of that stuff. It's more of how can we use a large language model that can really understand our business, that can really help our customers, that can facilitate the changes that we need, processes, improve processes, better customer service. I love it. I'm completely obsessed.
Well, sir, I mean, you could tell how passionate you are about this. Is there a fourth business kind of lurking there, an AI business?
I wish I had the time. I've been playing with. I actually named it everything. I named it Denali Sky, but we've recently started purchasing a lot of property up in Alaska. So I'm starting a general contracting business up there. So it's called Denali Sky Builders and Contractors. So I'm kind of involved in remodeling and flipping some houses up there while we're there for the summer and just learning Alaska. But part of that is also subcontracting and using the technologies that are coming with AI and being able to facilitate a lot of these smaller businesses and being able to get their marketing out. But AI, guys, this is bigger than the internet. I don't think that people are realizing the effect that this is going to have in all of our lives daily and how amazing everything is going to be. I am so excited to be alive, to be part of this.
I also love it. I just need to make sure my children know how to actually write an essay also and not just use ChatGPT. So there's that part that I'm like, I need them to have use their brains, but we use it a lot also for those type of things, marketing documents, things like that. That's my only downside to it is that I still have little ones who I'm trying to raise to use their intelligence and intellect.
I don't know if you're going to be able to stop it though, you know? So that's like the biggest thing is that unless we start taking things away, but
far they don't have smartphones. I'm a very mean mommy. So.
Oh, well, that's good. But I just, you know, there's a lot going on with AI. The thing is that people are like jobs, right? So I do think that a lot of analytical jobs, like for example, that are going to be able to be like, I'm using it as an attorney. I'm not suggesting anybody go replace your attorney with this, right? But if I need a case law or whatever, I'm researching it or what the rules are for Maricopa County or when I have to respond to this motion or whatever, it's a matter of prompting ChatGPT and asking the question so you don't have to be sitting out there waiting or going through tons of Google, right? Questions and answers because it's a conversation that you have back and forth. So, you know, it is going to like, and there's software out there that is doing automatic trading, like day trading for you because it's learned and it can look at the stocks analytically in a way that our brain can't do it. So, I think that the human touch is still going to be really important, that the relationships are going to be really important, but how we use AI to help our processes in our business, it's going to help us be more profitable, keep our costs down in this, you know, very expensive world we live in. And it's just, it's amazing. I'm so excited.
Now, Heather, do you mind sharing a little advice for folks out there that are, have maybe joined some associations, got some certifications, but they aren't leveraging it and they're not kind of maximizing their investment into that? Because there are so many people that go, oh, I have to be certified or I have to join this group. And they check the box and they think they're done. And then they go back to work and they're like, well, where's the ROI on this? I don't see, it's not working for me. So can you give some advice to kind of maximizing your certification or leveraging your association?
Absolutely. I mean, we tell people all the time, it is a tool and not a magic wand. It is not, if you certify it, they will come. You really have to leverage it and use it, as you said. So much so, we created a whole program called Diversity Masterminds, because after hearing so many of our clients say, like, I'm not renewing my certification, I didn't get anything out of it. And I would say, did you do this? Did you go here? Did you, you know, talk to these people? No, I didn't know I could. I didn't know I should. And so we really wanted them to understand how to leverage the certification to maximize growth. And so we created a whole program, both on demand and in person, to do that. But it's really about being part of the organization. I would say that's probably one of my biggest pieces of advice, is that, you know, when I moved from New Jersey to Nevada, I immediately reached out to Dr. Pamela Williamson and just said, hey, I'm, you know, now I'm one of your WBEs out here in Nevada. And then I was all in. I was like, I want to be part of however I can support the organization, because I think that, what's that expression, all rising tides bring all the boats to the top, whatever that is, you know, that expression?
Yes.
So I really believe in that. I believe in elevating each other, elevates ourselves as well. And so just any way that I can meet more of the WBEs, be part of it, show up. And you have to really let go of any kind of entitlement that, like, well, I'm certified, where's my contract? Because that's will get you nowhere. It'll actually get you less than nowhere, if, you know, whenever that's possible. But that's what I think what it is kind of wherever you can, sharing your expertise with those around you, and they'll share with you. Obviously, you're not going to give things away for free, but just having conversations with your other WBEs in the network, everybody knows someone or something that you don't. And so by being part of this organization and the network, you have so much exposure to resources you never even knew you needed. I never knew you had. And so that's what I think, like, both at the, you know, at the WeBank conference last week, during the WeBank West RPO breakout, both Dr. Williamson and myself mentioned that elevating the other people that were there at the conference was a game changer for your conference, not just their conference, but your conference. And I think that's what people underestimate. And also, you know, the business development part of the certification, people get, they understand that's the logical part. What people often forget, what entrepreneurs often forget, is the business, is the company development and the leadership development opportunities that are out there, right? Going to the Tuck, getting a scholarship to go to the Tuck Education Business, an executive MBA program, or being a part of mentorship opportunities. These are all parts of the organization, parts of your certification that are underutilized and underrecognized, in my opinion, by the entrepreneurs out there. I think there's so much that they can take advantage of. And, you know, even like, you know, WeBank West has the, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name of it.
I'm going to take a guess. Platinum Supplier Program.
Platinum Supplier Program. Thank you. Has a Platinum Supplier Program that helped, that really teaches you how to elevate your the use of your certification. And so I think people forget about those, and they get so caught up in just filling out RFPs or just, hey, buy from me, that they forget about the relationship part of it and really the other aspects of the certification.
Now, who is the ideal client for you? What's your ideal client profile?
Well, we really have two sets of clients. We have our corporate clients who utilize us to make sure that everybody in their supply chain understands the value of diversity certification and what it is and how to use it. So we do a lot of webinars and trainings, and they'll engage us to work with the suppliers in their supply chain that should be certified but are not, that they have relationships with. And then are the entrepreneurs that hire us are people who understand their time and their worth of their time, but also companies who are already doing business to business sales, are either have already started doing business with the Fortune 1000 or the government entities, or are just about to, right? Who maybe have been a tier two supplier previously, and they've maybe seen the opportunity cost. So really it's anybody who understands the value of outsourcing, and also the people who are business to business and are ready to take that next step.
And if somebody wants to learn more, what's the website?
It is certifymycompany.com.
And Sarah, who is your ideal client?
My ideal client is a company that needs help with compliance and screening their employees, basically, making sure that they have the right team. One thing is the interview, but another thing is, you know, their history, just, you know, I am California. California recently just passed a law that before it was 7 years. If you had any felonies before 7 years, they didn't show up. Now it's after 4 years, they're completely expunged. So, and now California has decided to not verify dates of birth. So let's just take Heather Cox. I don't know if there's more than one Heather Cox in California, but if there is, it makes it very difficult for us to run a background check and then to actually verify who you are. And if you have an employee that has felonies, that just this employee, one of my ex-employees, the one that I'm in a legal battle with right now, had 8 felonies. And we did not know, because we ran a background check. California kept the information because they're not allowed to release it. And so understanding that, right, we put everything into our business. Our business is everything. It's like our children, right? And then you allow someone like this. Now, people can change. It just so happens that this person didn't, right? And I found out about it after the fact in the investigation. I'm horrified for myself and my company. I'm horrified for possible, you know, new companies that come in. But this is happening everywhere. You know, California isn't the only one, but the ramifications that come from not having the right hire, which you're not completely immune to, right? I mean, we are a background screening company and it didn't come up. The background check was completely clear, right? So we didn't do anything wrong because we didn't have any idea. But then what goes through my mind is, oh my gosh, what if a teacher comes over from California and we're hiring a teacher for, you know, a school district and we can't release this information, or we don't see, there's so much stress that goes along with it. So I just think it's really important to screen and to do the reference checks, for as painful as it is to talk to people, to talk to their personal references, to talk to their prior business references. It's not just about their criminal background check. You guys, check who you're hiring, protect your company. So that is, that's my ideal hire. Someone that really wants to protect what they're doing and have a background check and compliance, and let us be human with you and help you navigate this journey.
Now, what's a website for vertical identity?
Vertical identity. So vertical, like horizontal and vertical, and identity, like in stolenidentity.com.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. Dr. Pam, what an episode. A lot of smart people in this room.
There are a lot of smart people and a lot of great information. We discussed AI. We discussed health and stress. We discussed positive energy. I think we discussed everything possible under this topic. So I really want to thank Sarah and Heather for joining us and sharing all the nuggets that they did. Appreciate you both.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was nice to see you both, all of you.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Women in Motion. This is Lee Cantor for Dr. Pamela Williamson. We'll see you all next time.